The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
If you have a phone, grab your phone. If you have like a pen and paper, grab that. And I know when I say that, some of you are like, "Nah, I don't really feel like doing that." And yeah, I can't make you do that, but I promise this will be much more profound for you if you do what I say. I promise. So here's what I want you to do on your phone. Take notes. Go to like a note section. If you have a pen and paper, you can do this. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down at the top, I want you to write the word action. Action. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds, 45 seconds. I want you to write down things that you know that you have done that just like are not good or right or pleasing to God. And the more honest you can be with this list, the better. So like even those things, and I know this is going to be hard because some of you are sitting by a loved one. So I really mean this when I say this, right? Like look at me. Like loved one, and I don't mean this rude to call you out, but like especially if you're a wife, don't look at your husband's list, okay? And I'm not even trying to be funny. This is just going to go so much better for all of us if y'all don't look at each other's lists, okay? So I want you to write down what are things you have done that you know were not pleasing to the Lord. So these are actions. These are things you've physically done, things you've said. Write those down. You should have, I don't know, at least five. And some of you, there's this thing that popped in your head, and you're like, "Ooh, let's not write that down." Definitely write that one down. I'm just being honest. I know how this is. I did this. All right, you got a few? If you're still going, keep going. And I want you to make another column. You can do it however you want. No one's going to look at your paper. Do another column. At the top of that one, I want you to write thoughts. Thoughts. Now I want you to write down some things that you have thought about, like you didn't do, you didn't follow through, right? Like these are the like the fantasy land. These are the super wicked things that like you saw someone and you thought this evil thought about them, but of course you didn't say it because you're, you know, a Christian. You just thought it. You know what I'm saying? So write down what are those wicked thoughts that you know that you shouldn't have thought about, but you thought about. Maybe it was towards someone. For some of you, it's like fantasy land, like you dreamed about this person who's not your spouse, what it'd be like to get with them. I'm talking about that stuff, like the deep, dark stuff, the wicked thoughts that go on in your heart that we pretend is not there. Write those down. So you got actions, you got thoughts, and one more column. This is a weird word, I know, but I want you to write it this one, inaction. Inaction. So now I want you to think about the moments where you had the opportunity to do good and you didn't do it. So like this isn't hypothetical. I don't mean like we all have the opportunity to go feed some random kid that we don't know who's starving. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you were in a situation and you had the opportunity to be there and be helpful. So maybe it was you saw some man be really aggressive towards a woman and you just watched that go down and you didn't step in, right? Like I'm talking about like you were a witness to something and you had the opportunity to be helpful and you weren't helpful. Does that make sense? So think of the times, write down the times. I mean, I saw this happen and I could have said something and I didn't. This person is in great need. They asked to borrow money. I could have given them money, but I said no, right? Like, write that down. What's an opportunity you have had to do something for someone, and you just chose not to do it? All right, you got it? Okay, so now here's what I need you to pray. So this morning, so the last couple weeks, right, I've been in this series called Made Alive to Make Alive. We've been talking really slowly through Ephesians 2 just about the beauty of what God did to us in salvation. And so today, man, we have this hard job where what we want to try to do is we want to try to grasp and get our minds and our hearts around in such a way that it moves us to action. We want to try to grasp the grace of God. And I don't know, honestly, anything harder to do than to really understand the grace of Jesus Christ. So I need you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move on you to grasp the grace of Jesus Christ. And even as I say that, if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I already got that, I'm telling you, you don't have it the way you think you have it. So just continue to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what does it look like to understand fully the grace of Jesus Christ. Make sense? So spend like a minute or two, pray that, and we'll pray, and we'll be done. Father, that is the deep need of our heart this morning, that we would know and grasp and understand in all of its beauty and nuance the grace that you have given us in Christ Jesus. So that is nothing that we intellectually can attain to. Like, we need your Holy Spirit to reveal to us the depth and the weight of the grace of Jesus Christ. And the grace of the Father. And so I don't know what you need to do that, but I ask that you would. So Father, would you press on us and breathe on us and speak to us, I pray. And all those who loved him said, amen. So here's my contention. My contention is most of us think of grace like a ladder. Right? So imagine, like, I kind of have a little bit of a tall ceiling in my house. So if you have to change a light bulb, here's the reality. I have the ability to change a light bulb. But if it's too high, what do I need? I just need a little bit of help, right? So, like, I can do all the mechanics of it, but I just need a ladder so I can get on the ladder and it can get me a little bit higher. So the reality is there's something I'm bringing to the table when it comes to changing a light bulb. But I need a little bit of help. I think that's how you and I tend to think of God's grace, is that we bring some things to the table, right? Like in our own salvation, we bring some things to the table. We just need a little bit of help. And so his grace is that ladder. It gets us the rest of the way, but we weren't completely dependent upon it, right? So I want to show you this text, and I want you to notice something. I want you to see how much God is the one in control, and you and I bring nothing to the table. So I just want you to watch how it reads. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So I think we read that really quickly and we miss it. So I'm gonna break it down. You're going to see at least three or four things that God is getting your attention to say, you got nothing to do with this. Okay? So watch this. Look at verse 8, the very first part of it. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So you tell me, what is grace? How would you define it? Unmerited favor. So grace, by definition, is this thing that you didn't earn, and it is also this thing you didn't deserve. So it's a gift you did nothing to merit. You understand that? So his point is, you and I, we have been saved by grace through faith, meaning we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. That was God's work, right? That's number one. Watch the next part. So just in case you were confused about what you brought to the table, he breaks it down for you. He says, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So that's another way for him to say, hey, you didn't do anything. You brought nothing to the table, right? It was the work of God. It's the gift of God. Verse 9, he says it again in a different way. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Right? So he says, this isn't you and the ladder, right? Like, you don't get to say, here's what I did bring to the table, and Jesus, you provided the ladder to get me the rest of the way. He says, no, you didn't do anything. You don't get to boast. What are you going to brag about before God, right? And then he says it a different way. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So in other words, he says, you're God's creation, right? Like, you didn't create yourself. You didn't save yourself. God did all that. And even the good works that you're going to do, look what he says about it. He says, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do, right? So a lot of times we don't like this, especially if you've grown up in church for a long time, you really don't like this, but can I just tell you what it means? It means that God has somehow preordained good things for you to do, and you don't even get the credit for those, right? Like, it's not like I get saved, and then I go do something really loving or really good, or I preach some bomb sermon, and I get credit for that, right? No, God says, what are you boasting about? Man, before you even born, I figured out what you were going to do. And you just happened to be in the right place at the right time to do it. So here's his point. You and I, we brought nothing to the table. So here's the problem. When you have been given the grace of Jesus Christ, there is this slow pull that happens where, while you know that it's God's grace, you start to kind of believe, well, I mean, I know I was kind of a bad person, but I wasn't that bad, right? Like, that's just another nice way for you to say, I brought something to the table. And it's like, well, I mean, I know that, like, God's the one who saved me and whatever, but, like, what I did, is it really that bad? Like, didn't I kind of earn some of this? So here's why I had you make that list, okay? So I'm going to read. It's not going to be on the screen. You can read it if you want. I want to read the first three verses. This is the part that you and I did according to Ephesians 2, verses 1. It says this. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So that's what me and you brought to the table, right? Nothing. Dead works, right? Like, I asked this a couple weeks ago. How does a dead man make himself come alive? He doesn't. What's a dead man going to do to earn his way to heaven? Nothing. Right? But here's the problem. You and I read those verses and we think, well, that's extreme. Like, I've done some stuff that's deserving. So I want you to look at your list. And I want you to imagine you take your list and you stand in front of God, and this is your list that you want to impress him with. This is your list that's going to say, hey, God, look what I've done. Look what I've merited. So I want you to start with the actions. You see your actions? Don't read them out loud, but I want you to imagine you take those actions and you read them before God in some kind of way that's going to get God to move for you. Look at your list. Don't look at me. Look at your action list. What on that list makes you think, if you read that to God, God's going to say, oh, man, are you serious? I've been looking for a dude who was that perverted. Thank you. I can't wait to save you, right? Like, what on your list deserved it? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I'm Matt, like, if you saw my list, I got some bad stuff, but it's not that bad. Okay, go to the thoughts list. Because, see, I would contend with you, this is how bad we really are. Some of you knew some thoughts you should have wrote down, but you were too dang embarrassed to even write those down, right? So what are you going to bring to God on your thoughts list? that your imagination has run this wild and this wicked, like what are you going to impress him with? Nothing. Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but Matt, like, I've done some good things in my life. Okay, you're right. You have done some good things in your life. You know what else you've done? You've done a whole lot of things where you could have done good and you didn't, right? Look at that last list, the inaction. How many times have you had the opportunity to do good and you chose not to? So here's what I'm saying. Sometimes you and I lie to ourselves thinking that just because God saved us, somehow we merited that. Somehow we deserve that. And so I just want you to, for a moment, just to be really sober-minded, and I really do, I want you to look at your list. And I want you to read through it, just briefly to yourself. And I want you to honestly ask the question, what on my list makes me think that I have deserved anything from God? Do you get my point? Are you tracking with that logic? That you and I, we didn't do anything to earn this thing, man. But then here's the other silly game we play. And so we're like, okay, so I get it. I'm a bad person. You're trying to convince me I'm bad, whatever. But that's the beauty of the gospel, right? Like, God is so good. So the reality is we play this other really weird game as if God had to save us, right? Like, have you ever thought that? You ever said something like this? Man, God is just, he's love, Matt. He's love, so he had to save me. Because he's love. Have you ever had that thought? Can I just ask this question? Why does God being love means he have to save you? Like, honestly, what does it mean? Like, I'm not debating that God is love. I'm just asking the question, why does God being love mean he has to save you? Because you say it like it was an obligation. How is God, because he's love, obligated to save you? That logic doesn't make sense. Yes, God is love, but that doesn't obligate him to save. And then some of you think things like this. Well, yeah, but God is like, he's just, right? Like, that would be unjust for God to punish me because of what I've done. And so it was his justice that compelled him to save me. And I would say, well, then that's a very wrong definition of justice. God's justice doesn't demand your salvation. It's actually the opposite. God's justice for your wrongdoing demands your punishment. So it's not God's justice that caused him to save you. And I would argue it's not his love. Because see, God is love. You want to know how it could have happened? It could have happened like this. That God creates humanity. Humanity sins. And God, out of his justice, is compelled to punish that humanity. And out of his love for us, he could have just punished us and grieved over it. Right? Like, have you ever had, whether it's a kid or a friend or seen someone who did something and you had to give them consequences, right? And so while you gave them consequences, your heart didn't delight in that, but you grieved over it, but yet you loved them, right? Now that love didn't demand that you didn't give them consequences. So I'm saying likewise with God. God's love doesn't demand that he does anything for you. He could have just punished you and then been really grieved over it. Really sad about it. So what's my point? My point is this. The grace of Jesus Christ is something that you and I did nothing to earn. That even God's character and nature didn't mean he had to save us. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's gracious. But that's the point. See, you and I, we look at God's grace and say he had to give it. No, he didn't, right? Like on Christmas Day, do you have to give anyone a gift? No. Nothing makes you have to do it. It's your willingness. It's your desire. It's you saying, this is what I want to do. So watch this. The grace of God over you and over me was God looks at your list and he says, I don't care. I want to save you. Like he looks at your list. He looks at all the things you did wrong, all the things you thought wrong, all the times you could have done good. And he looks at it and he says, I don't care about your list. Like I'm choosing to move and to save and to be merciful and to be gracious because I can, not because I have to. My argument is God's love for you and for me doesn't mean he has to save us, but it for sure is what motivated him to save us. And so what do you and I do with that? Well, number one, I think we have to recognize that God's grace is not a ladder that got us the rest of the way there. That God's grace came and interjected himself and itself into our lives, not because we did anything to earn it, not because we deserve it, but just because he wanted to. And so here's what I know. Most of us in the room on some level, whether it's deep down or really surface, we struggle with the idea of grace. And the reason why we struggle with the idea of grace is because if we're honest, grace isn't fair, right? Grace by nature is not fair. Because if grace were fair, it would look at your list and give you a fair reward. And a fair reward for your wickedness would not be forgiveness and salvation and just erasing your list, right? So by definition, because grace is not fair, we tend to struggle with accepting it. Because we live in a world that's all about what you earned, what you deserve, what are you worthy of? Let's be fair. And so today, I have no other words. Words fall so short. But like, if I could just convince you of one thing, that God looks at your list and he says, it's not about being fair. It's not about what you have earned or what you deserve. It's just about me saying, I love you and I want you. And so I'll take your list. So now I want you to, if you wrote it down, I want you to delete it. Or I want you to scratch it out. Now watch this. That's what grace looks like. That God says, hey man, I'm going to take your list, and not because you've done anything to deserve it, I'm going to erase it. Now here's the other problem why some of us struggle with grace. Because God's erased our list, but we've saved it in a file and archived it. Right? Like God has forever erased your list, but you got it categorized and archived by date. And when you mess up or something happens in your world, you go back to your list. And so you struggle to believe God's grace because you're constantly reminding yourself of how far short you fall. But what if you and I, every time that ugly lie reared its head to believe that somehow, some way we are not deserving, we just reminded ourselves of this verse. How are we saved? By grace through faith. We were saved by grace through faith, that we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, that God saved us. So when the evil one or your own self-conscious or your own security comes up and says, yeah, but remember this, remember this, remember this. You can say, no, I do remember that. But you got to remember, God saved me not based on things I've done, based on his grace. So it doesn't matter that I did that. Does that make sense? Now, why do I say all of that? Because there is no greater motivator for loving God and following God and obeying God than the grace of Jesus Christ, right? Notice how he doesn't, well, we'll just read it. Watch this. Look at verse 8. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's what's fascinating about this. He says there are good works that you and I should do, right? You see that? Why doesn't he start with that? Why didn't he start with that? Why didn't he say, hey man, there's all this good stuff I need you sinful people to do, so do the good stuff. Why does he start with the grace? Why does he save you first? You ever notice that? See, sometimes it's so funny to me that we look at God as like this person who's always trying to get us to do all these things. But let me remind you, God didn't ask you to do good things until he saved you. You see that? Like, this is why it's so dumb of Christians to try to have morality for people who don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't even do that. Jesus holds them to a standard, but Jesus doesn't go to someone who doesn't believe in him and say, hey, I want you to obey my commandments. He says, no, you can't obey my commandments. That's why I'm going to save you first, and then you're going to obey, right? So let me give you the best, clearest illustration of how the grace of Jesus Christ works. So I want you to think back to the Old Testament and look at the story of Israel. God takes a man named Abraham, and for no reason, God just shows up and he says, hey man, this is what I want to do in you. I want to create in you a people by which I will save the world. Did Abraham do anything? No. It said Abraham was just walking around, hanging out. And then God showed up. Grace. And then it says that Israel went into Egypt, and they were enslaved for over 400 years. And then we all know this story, right? That God rescues them out of Egypt. He rescued them from slavery. What happens when they get out of slavery and they get to Mount Sinai? Do you remember? What happens? God goes up on a mountain, and what does he say? He speaks the Ten Commandments. Here's my question. Why didn't he tell them the commandments back in Egypt? Why didn't he expect them to do those things in Egypt? Because they were slaves. It wasn't until he made them free that he told them what to do. Right? Why? Because he understands grace is the motivator. Right? Like, I'm going to save Israel out of Egypt, and then they'll be able to do what I ask them to do. Right? So look at me. You want to know why you and I struggle so much with sin? I think it's because we don't understand his grace. Because we try to obey him to earn something, and he says, no, bro, you got it wrong. You already got it. That's why you can obey. You already have my favor. Stop trying to earn it. It's my favor that empowers you. Do you see that? So what if you and I, rather than trying to earn the favor of God, we just enjoyed what he's already given us? Like I had an old pastor used to say it this way. It's like you walk in on test day and the teacher says, man, you already got an A, right? Like you already got an A, and no matter how you answer the questions, you still got an A. Then it almost feels pointless to take the test, doesn't it? It almost feels like just going through the motions. I would submit to you, I think, in all honesty, I think that's what the Christian life really should be like. Is that it almost feels like we're just going through the motions. Because God's already graced us. He's already empowered us. He's already given us everything we need. So here's the monumental question. What do you and I do to understand his grace? Like, how are we supposed to do that? One more thing, and then we're done. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to notice that if you read this as a whole, he basically says, God saved you so you could do good things. Do you see that? Is that super obvious to you? You see that? I want you to notice what it doesn't say. He didn't say, I saved you so you can learn a lot about me. Right? You catch that? He didn't say, I saved you so you could know the Bible really well. I saved you so you could talk a lot about me. He didn't say that. He said, I saved you to do good works. Church, we need to recover that in God's salvation to us was not just so we could sit and enjoy him forever. Right? Like some of us, man, we are so busy enjoying God and being jerks to people. He says, no, you don't understand. I saved you to do good works. I saved you to love people. I saved you so the same grace that you've been given, you can give out. See, here's how you can know that you and I struggle with this idea of grace. Because do you and me not have this attitude where to some people we think, they deserve to be loved, or they deserve for me to do this, but then others, it's like, you don't deserve that, right? True story, super embarrassing, but because I wanted to help you know that I'm not perfect, as if you already thought I wasn't. So I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. So there was a time a couple of years ago where me and these guys were doing just random street evangelism, right? So this is this idea that you walk up to strangers and you tell them about Jesus, right? And so I purposely do stuff like this because it's so awkward, it's so uncomfortable, I don't want to do it. So I'm like, I'm gonna make myself do it, right? That's just how sadistic I am. So we go to this park, and we're just walking up to people and asking them, how can we pray for them? And we're telling them about Jesus. And so, true story. So there is this group of people. I have no idea what they are. They Hispanic, Mexican, something. And I remember I had this thought. I shouldn't go up to them because they look really Mexican. And what I meant was, because I judge what they look like, I assume they don't speak good English, right? So I want you to catch this. If you're not following the story, the SNL skit, a pastor goes to do evangelism, and his racist heart says they don't deserve for him to open up his mouth because he presumes some things about them that were not true, right? Why do I tell you that story? Because I am very well aware that there is this slow drift away from the grace of God where moment by moment, if I'm not aware that God saved me when I didn't deserve it, I will look at people and think there is something that preludes them from having God's grace. That's crazy, because I was saved to do good works and to give freely the grace of Jesus Christ that I have so enjoyed. So my question to you is, if you were saved for good works and you struggle to do them, what do you need to do to understand his grace? Because I promise the missing piece is not that you're not disciplined enough. It's not that you're not good enough. The missing piece is that you and I fail to understand how good and gracious he is to us. And I just think if you and I would stop beating ourselves up about what we don't do and what we do that's sinful, and we just enjoyed his grace, we would be more of what he called us to be. So here's how I want to end our time. And I know this is uncomfortable for some of us, but once again, like, I can't convince you of the grace of God. Like, I can't read enough poetry to you or say enough things or scream enough for you to get it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think to yourself, what do you feel like is keeping you from fully understanding the grace of Jesus Christ? Right? Like, is it a sinful thing? Like, go back to your archive. Is it this thing that you've done way back in the past that you still are so conscious of, that you've made yourself undeserving? Like, what is it that's keeping you from really walking in the grace of Jesus? And maybe if you can't name it or you don't know it, then here's how I want you to pray. I want to spend just a couple minutes, and we want to ask God to speak to us about his grace. And I know that sounds super generic, but here's what I know. If you felt like God spoke grace into you right now, that would mean something, right? Like, not if a pastor did it, not if a Bible story did it, but if God spoke that into you. And so that's why we've gathered. We've gathered not to hear me, not to sing songs, but to hear from God. And so I want to take a couple of moments, no matter how awkward they would be, and I just want you to ask God to help you and me understand his grace. So you pray, and after a couple minutes, I'll close out our time. Father, I don't know what you need to do in each individual here, in my heart, in their heart, but I pray that you would help us to walk more and more. And that just this, with this humility of knowing that we were saved by grace and that we brought nothing to the table. I pray that you would speak into our hearts, into our circumstances. I pray for those who are so aware of how sinful they are that you would help them to see that you have saved them by grace and they don't have to walk in that anymore. And I pray that you would help us to be humble people who, because we have received the grace of Jesus Christ, we want to go out into the world and to give it in a way that is good and loving, and we want to speak of Jesus because there is no better and greater gift that we could ever give someone. So, Father, would you ruin us with your grace? And we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.